What I want to do this evening is our last message in this series, and I don't know if you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I've really enjoyed digging into this and teaching it, and it's been really exciting, and so it's the last session tonight. Next week we'll be beginning a prayer series, prayer meeting that we're calling Prayer Power. And there'll be a little teaching on prayer. We'll come in and we'll have worship. We'll have a little teaching on prayer. We'll have a time for you to pray, just kind of pray individually, just you and the Lord. And then we'll pray corporately. We're going to be praying over prayer requests. And so it's going to be a good time. We'll continue that as long as the Lord says do that. And it's a good season of prayer, I believe, that we'll be entering into with that. So go with me tonight to Daniel chapter 2. It's where we're going to start. We're going to just give an overview of the prophetic themes of the book of Daniel. There's a lot in Daniel that's not prophecy, as we found out. Particularly the earlier chapters, but the later chapters focus exclusively on prophecy and on the last days. But it begins in chapter 2 with the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And Daniel was called in to interpret the dream. Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and he called his wise men in, and he said, I've had a dream, and I need to understand it. And they said, fine, tell us the dream. And he said, no, you tell me the dream, and you give me the interpretation. That way I know that the interpretation is true if you can tell me what the dream is. And they said, you're asking something impossible here. And so Nebuchadnezzar, at that point in his life, he just wanted to kill somebody. And so he issued the order, and they started killing all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel interceded, and Daniel said, "Wait a minute! Don't kill everybody. Give me some time to ask God to show me this and reveal this to me." And he prayed, and God showed him the dream, and showed him the interpretation. And so he comes before the king. In verse 31 of Daniel 2. He says, You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together. Can you picture that? Can you see that happening in your mind's eye? Can you see this stone that is cut without human hands, and it comes and strikes the image in the feet? Not only are the feet crushed, but as it strikes that blow, then all of a sudden the whole thing just disintegrates into a pile, and that's what is happening here. He says, the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, he said. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So he identifies, Daniel identifies Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom and the Babylonian empire as the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, because it was the chest and the arms of silver, and that would be the Media Persian kingdom. And notice it was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Notice it had two arms, and one arm representing the Persians, one arm representing the Medes. All right? Okay, so another kingdom shall arise inferior to yours, then a third, or then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. That was the Grecian kingdom under Alexander the Great, as we've seen. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. That's the Roman Empire. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And of course, this is talking about we know as a revived Roman Empire, what a lot of people believe and understand to be the modern day European Union. And he says, it says in the days of these kings, and if we get down to verse 44, we'll go on to verse 44 there. And in the days of these kings, and so what we're seeing here too is Daniel is seeing this image. He's seeing history unfold. He's seeing history from the farthest past with the Babylonian Empire, then coming down to the Media-Persian Empire that followed it, then the Grecian Empire, then the Roman Empire. When he gets to the feet and the toes, he's looking into the last days. And he's looking into the end of days. And this is when the stone that's cut without hands strikes a blow to this kingdom. All right? In verse 44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Well, we're looking for that, right? We're looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will set up his kingdom. Amen. And that's what this is talking about. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Praise God. So we go into chapter 7. Chapter 3 is the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that's about his personal life that Daniel interprets. Chapter 5 is King Belshazzar and the handwriting on the wall. Chapter 6 is Daniel in the lion's den. And then we get to chapter 7, and we get back into the prophetic themes of the book. So in chapter 7, Daniel has a vision. And it says it happened in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. He had dreams and visions, it says. And we'll go to verse number 3. And here's the vision. He said, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Again, Daniel is seeing the same thing. He's seeing these world empires arise and come on the stage of world history, beginning with the Babylonian Empire. That was like the lion that had eagle's wings. The second beast, like a bear, that was the Media-Persian Empire. The third empire, notice here, if you've been here, you'll recognize some things here. The third empire was like a leopard. That would be the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. It said it had 4 wings of a bird, and it also had 4 heads. Well, we know that after Alexander died, that the Grecian Empire was divided into 4 parts. Yeah. Remember we talked about that? And there's other prophecies here in Daniel that reveal that even more clearly, all right. And so it says verse seven now. He says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. Notice the Roman Empire was pictured with in the first vision with legs of iron, right? Remember that? Yes. Okay. All right. So this, here's the connection here. This fourth beast is the Roman Empire. It has iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking it in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Well, in the first vision, the image had 10 toes, right? The feet had 10 toes here. 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Of course, this is symbolic here of the last days and of the Antichrist, and we're going to see the interpretation here if we go into verse 15. He says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four, are four kings which arise out of the earth. But, verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the others, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. So from the roots of the Roman Empire, the Roman kingdom, shall be 10 kings that arise from this kingdom. And that's where we see today the European Union. All right. Okay, and then he says, still in verse 24, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. In other words, one ruler is going to come up out of these 10 kings. One will arise, all right? Verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand, notice this, for a time, times, and half a time. How long is that, would we determine? 3.5 years. A time is a year, all right? So 3.5 years, a time, times, and half a time. So 3.5 years, all right? He says, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. And so this ruler, this world, this evil ruler will arise, and he will have power for a time, for 3.5 years. He will persecute the saints, the people of God. They'll be given into his hand, it says, for a time, times, and half a time. So he'll be persecuting the people of God, but then the court is going to be seated. Hallelujah. The court of heaven will be seated, and it says they'll take away his dominion and consume and destroy it forever, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms shall be given to the people, to the saints of the Most High. That's us. That's us. Amen. Hallelujah. And it said back there the saints, verse 22 says, the saints will possess the kingdom. Amen? Praise God. All right. So let's go into chapter 8. In chapter 8, it's like we zoom in. So in chapters 2 and chapter 7, we're seeing all 4 of these kingdoms. But then in chapter 8, it's like the camera zooms in and we're only looking at 2 of them now. We're looking at the Media Persia kingdom represented by a ram, and the Grecian kingdom represented by a goat. All right? And so that's in chapter 8. So there's a zoom in, and we see the conflict, and we see the change of power from the Media Persian kingdom to the Grecian kingdom, and that came when, again, Alexander the Great was leading the kingdom of Greece, and he went and his army, and they met on the battlefield against the Persian kingdom, and they defeated the Persian army, and they became the world power. And this is all depicted right here in chapter 8, when this and history confirms it. So we'll start in verse 20, and then we're going to come back and catch some previous verses. Verse 20, he says, "The ram which you saw, having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia. And the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king." That's Alexander. "As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power." Alexander died at a very young age. I think he was 33 when he died. And his four generals fought over the kingdom and each kind of grabbed their own part of it. Alexander didn't have any heirs that assumed the kingdom, but these four generals each claimed their part, and it was divided up. The Grecian kingdom was divided up among these four generals. All right, and let's go back now to verse number 8. All right, of Daniel 8, it says, "Therefore the male goat grew very, very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken." Again, that's talking about Alexander. "And in its place, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land." That's the nation of Israel, all right? The glorious land, speaking of Israel. "And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host. And by him, the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down." All right? And so what he's talking about here is this is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. All right? And notice where he comes from. He comes out of that Grecian kingdom, right? The male goat, that was the kingdom of Greece. The prominent horn, the large horn, was broken off. That's Alexander at his death. Then four horns grow up out of that. That's each of those generals. Okay. Well, one of those kingdoms that was established out of that, one of those four kingdoms was known as the Seleucid kingdom. All right. And that's there was a leader then that came a few or several decades later out of that Seleucid kingdom, a leader named Antiochus Epiphanes. And around 165 B.C., he fulfilled what Daniel talks about here in verse 11. He stops the temple sacrifices, and he goes in and he sacrifices a pig in the temple, and he desecrates the temple, desecrates the sanctuary. All right, this is a partial fulfillment. All right. But it's not a complete fulfillment. But this character that arises here out of this Grecian kingdom, this little horn that arises, notice it's similar to what we've already seen in Daniel chapter 7, where this horn arises out of the Roman Empire, all right? And so here it's arising out of the Greek Empire. Desecrating, taking away the daily sacrifices. He's desecrating the sanctuary. And this character that we see revealed here, he continues to reappear in the future chapters as we get into, and we look in Daniel as we looked at last week. And so let's go to chapter 9 now. We're making good time tonight, aren't we? All right. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel, you know, is praying, seeking God about the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. He says, wait a minute, we're supposed to be going home here. And God prophesied through Jeremiah that we'd spend 70 years in captivity, then we'd be released, and he began praying about that. And God not only answered his prayer for that, but God showed him through this revelation, through this vision, God showed him what would happen, the whole scope of his plan for the Jewish people. And he tells him here, he says 70 weeks in Daniel 9, verse 24. He says 70 weeks, and we understand here, and we've talked about this, that a week here represents a seven-year period. All right? So 70, seven-year periods. How many, what is 70 times 7? Does anybody know? 490. All right? You passed math in school. All right. 490 week, or 490 years, then 70 seven-year periods, that'd be 490 years. But they're divided up into seven-year periods, and there's 70 of them. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression. So notice who this applies to. He says, for your people. So who is that? That's the Jewish people. And what is the holy city?
Jerusalem.
Yes, all right. So this is concerning the Jews and Jerusalem. Daniel was a Jew. So when the angel speaks to him and he says, 70 weeks are determined for your people. Daniel was a Jew, so he's talking about the Jews. And for your holy city, well, Daniel understood, and we understand, that's Jerusalem, all right? To do what? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. In other words, the consummation of the plan of God. Redemption, making an end of sin, reconciliation for iniquity, everlasting righteousness brought in, seal up vision and prophecy, all prophecy fulfilled, and anointing the Most Holy, Jesus as the Messiah. Know therefore, so he said, this is all going to happen in these 70 weeks. All right? Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. So in other words, he's telling them, here's where the 70 weeks start. Here's where the prophetic time clock starts ticking. It starts when the command is issued to go forth and rebuild Jerusalem. And Cyrus, the Persian king, is the very king that issued that decree, that proclamation was issued. The Jews went back and began to rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. That's when that clock started ticking, all right? And he says, from that time, all right, until Messiah the Prince, he said. So from the time of the decree to rebuild the temple till the Messiah comes, is going to be, he says, is going to be, I'm trying to read it here, verse 20, the previous verse. Know therefore that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, all right? So he divides it up in two parts, but when you add those two together, 7 and 62 is what?
69.
Again, you passed math class. So 69 weeks, okay? So that's 483 years. And so if you calculate that back from the time that decree was issued and you fast forward 483 years, you know what day you get to? You get to Palm Sunday. When Jesus enters Jerusalem and the people say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Their Messiah had come. But then we know what happened a few days later. What happened? Well, let's keep reading here and we'll find out what happened. He says, the street should be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. That was the first 7 weeks. 49 years they got the temple rebuilt. They got the city rebuilt. And then 62 more weeks pass, or 62 seven-year periods. And then the Messiah comes, verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah, when he comes in, he shall be cut off, but not for himself. That's talking about the crucifixion. That's talking about Jesus going to the cross. The Messiah was cut off. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for all the Jewish people, and he did it for the whole world. He did it for the sins of all mankind, for you and for me and for all humanity. Praise God. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And God put his finger down and hit the pause button. The clock, the prophetic clock stopped ticking because 69 of those 70 weeks were fulfilled. And it was fulfilled when Messiah was cut off, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And God says, I got something in my pocket here that y'all didn't understand about that I'm going to unfold and do right now. It's called the church age.
Amen.
And so we're living in that church age right now. The clock stopped ticking, and God said, we're going to have the church age right now. And so that's what we've been in for the last 2,000, almost 2,000 years. We've been in the church age, all right? But the time is coming when God's going to reach down and take the pause button off, and that final 7-year period is going to start ticking away. And a lot's going to happen then. Because he said what's going to have to happen is transgression is going to have to be finished, everlasting righteousness brought in, all prophecy fulfilled, and the Most Holy One anointed. Wow, it's going to be a busy time, isn't it? All right? And so what's going to happen is, okay, so he says Messiah's going to be cut off, and then he says this, but not for himself, and, look at this now, and the people of the prince who is to come, the prince who is to come is that prince that Daniel's been talking about, that little horn that rises up, that comes up out of the 10 toes, out of the Roman, the remains, the roots of the Roman Empire, that's who he's talking about, that prince. He says the people of that prince. Now, where do we determine that prince comes from? Out of the Roman Empire? Well, his people then, the Romans, are going to come in and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, that happened in 70 AD. After Messiah was cut off, somewhere around 30 AD, 40 years later, the Roman army under General Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, and the Jews were scattered all around the world at that time. And they were not a nation until May 14th, 1948, they became a nation again. Wow, in fulfillment of God's promise and prophecy. Amen? All right. So he says, they'll come and then they'll destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's the temple. The end of it shall be with the flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he, verse 27, then he who? That prince he talked about in verse 26. The prince that would arise out of the Roman Empire. All right, the remains of the roots of the Roman Empire. Then he, that prince, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. All right, so this is what the Antichrist does. This is one of the ways he becomes a world leader and people follow him is because he's able to broker a peace deal in the Middle East with the nation of Israel. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. How long's a week? 7 years. All right, but in the middle of the week, well, what would the middle of the week be? 3.5 years. We've seen 3.5 years somewhere, right? All right, in the middle of the week, he shall do what? He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Well, have we seen something about that? Has that been revealed to Daniel? This king that will arise, and he saw him coming out of the Grecian Empire. Well, I believe the Antichrist is going to be a mix. He's going to have roots in the Roman Empire. He's going to have roots in the Grecian Empire. It was according to what Daniel has shown us here, the revelation here, and. And so that's what we saw in chapter 8 with this. The foreshadowing of it was Antiochus Epiphanes, but there's coming one in the end of days. He'll be the fulfillment, and he's going to do that. He's going to bring an end to sacrifice and offering. He's going to go into the temple that'll be rebuilt at that time, and he's going to stop sacrifices and offerings. And the Apostle Paul talked about this in 2 Thessalonians. Paul said that this man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2, that he's going to come into the temple of God and he's going to sit down in the temple and he's going to proclaim himself to be God. All right? And that's what the Antichrist will do. And that's what Daniel is seeing right here. It says, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. All right? And so, again, we see this 3.5 years. I want to go back to that for a moment. And so the final week countdown begins. When does God put his finger on the pause button and say, okay, now we're playing it? When that peace treaty is brokered, when that peace treaty is signed, that's when it starts. And for the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist looks like a good guy, and he especially looks like a friend to Israel and a friend to the Jews. But halfway through, he's going to turn on them. Halfway through, he's going to begin to persecute them, all right? And we'll see that as we move on through this, all right? And so we'll go into chapter 11 now. Daniel chapter 11. That's where we were at last week. And we're just going to jump right in here. Daniel chapter 11 talks about an ongoing conflict spanning a few generations between the king of the north and the king of the south. Well, the king of the north kingdom, is one of the four kingdoms that arose out of the Grecian Empire. And the north kingdom is the Seleucid Empire that was headquartered in Syria, which is just north of Israel. All right? That's who he's seeing here with this northern kingdom. All right? And this king that will arise out of this northern kingdom, who is Antiochus Epiphanes, who is a type of the Antichrist. Verse 31, "And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation." Well, Antiochus Epiphanes did that when he sacrificed the pig. But in the last days, there's going to be one who will be in his likeness and following out and in the same spirit of him. And he's going to come in and take away the daily sacrifices, just like Daniel had seen in chapter 9. All right. And it's a recurring theme. He's seeing it again. All right. And he'll place there the abomination, what's called the abomination of desolation. In other words, it will be something that will just be so horrific to the Jewish people that have rebuilt their temple in that day, that will just defile and desecrate the temple of God and the worship of God completely. And he will be doing it defiantly to thumb his nose at the true God and the God of the Jews. That will be his purpose in doing that. All right. Verse 32 says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." All right. So the people that have rejected the laws of God, those who do wickedly against the covenant, are people that reject the laws of God. What does it say he's going to do? He's going to flatter them. He's going to encourage them. He's going to promote that. He's going to empower and encourage those who flout the laws of God. Well, we see a lot of politicians doing that today, don't we?
That's right.
We see a lot of people being applauded, people that are defying the laws of God and the laws of natural law that God has established. We see those people being applauded and lifted up on a pedestal. Well, the Antichrist is going to double down on that, all right? And so it says, he will corrupt with flattery, but it says, "But in the middle of that, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." God always has his people, even in the midst of great darkness, even in the midst of great evil, God always has his people. Amen? Verse 33, "And those of the people who understand shall instruct many." Now again, this is during the tribulation period. The church has been raptured. Many Jews get saved during this time. And God raises up from among the Jews 144,000 evangelists, 12,000 out of every tribe. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses think that's the people that are going to heaven. But I think they're mistaken. These are the 144,000 that God seals and calls and anoints, and they go. They go like a blazing fire throughout the earth, spreading the gospel and getting people saved. And so I believe that's who he's talking about here in verse 33. "And those of the people who understand shall instruct many, yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and famine, by captivity and plundering." Here we see the people of God being persecuted and being overcome. The Antichrist is going to have power to overcome and persecute the people of God for this season, for 3.5 years. "Now when they fall, they shall be aided." Verse 34, "When they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Then the king," this is talking about this evil king, "then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath that has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all." And so that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He'll exalt himself, but then the Bible says here wrath, the wrath that has been determined will be, you know, will be done and will be accomplished on him. All right? And other scriptures bear that out and talk about that. Now, again, let me go back to verse 31. It says, it talks about the abomination of desolation. All right? And Daniel 9, verse 27 used similar words. Daniel 9, 27 uses the words, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. All right? So very similar there. And Jesus talked about this. Jesus referred to this in Matthew 24. So go with me to Matthew 24, verse 15. Jesus said this, and this is in his discourse that is called the Olivet Discourse. He was on the Mount of Olives, and it's his teaching on the last days. Matthew 24, verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Again, that's when the Antichrist comes in, when he sits down in the temple, proclaims that he's God, he will be defiling the temple at that point. That's the abomination of desolation. At that point is when he turns on the Jews and he begins to persecute them. And that's where Jesus issues the warning. If you're in Judea, then you need to flee to the mountains, because a great persecution is going to be unleashed against the Jewish people at that time. All right? "Let him who is in the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." So Jesus is giving an ominous prophetic warning here about the last days and about when this abomination of desolation appears in the temple of God, in the holy place. If you're in Judea, if you're a Jew in Judea, you need to get out. Don't even go back and get your clothes. Don't do any. Just turn and run at that time. And there's going to be a place provided for them. We talked about that, Petra, a place provided for them, a place of safety that many will flee to and be divinely protected. And the Bible talks about that in the book of Revelation. They'll be protected for a time, times, and half a time, 3.5 years. All right? And so we go into chapter 12 of Daniel. Go back to Daniel, and we'll get to chapter 12. All right? We'll wrap this up here. In chapter 12, verse 1, it says, At that time, Michael shall stand up. Who is Michael? Michael's an archangel. Amen? Praise God. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Well, let's go back. There's a lot in this verse here. So let's go back to the first part of it there, Mike, if you would. It says, at that time, Michael shall stand up. So during this time of the last days, when this evil ruler has come in and has desecrated the temple and is beginning his persecution against the Jews, at that time, Michael, the great archangel, is going to stand up. Amen. Glory to God. And the Bible says, it calls him here the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Who's talking to Daniel here? Well, it's still the angel that we read, go back to chapter 10. We're not going to go back to chapter 10, but that's where this visitation starts. I believe it doesn't say by name that it's Gabriel. I think it's probably Gabriel, but it is an angel that he describes. His appearance is so glorious that he just... Remember, we looked at it last week, all the strength drained out of him, and he fell under the power of God. And then the angel spoke to him, and strength came into him and lifted him up. That's who's still talking. And he's telling him, at that time, Michael will stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. So Michael, the archangel, he is the angel appointed over the nation of Israel. That's what this scripture is telling us here. It says he stands watch over the sons of your people. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Daniel. Who was Daniel? Daniel was a Jew. Who are Daniel's people? The Jews. All right? All right? And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. Jesus, we just read what Jesus said. Jesus said, then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So notice how similar those statements are. Here, the angel tells him that there'll be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people should be delivered, though. There's going to be deliverance for the people of God. For who? For everyone who is found written in the book. So my advice is make sure your name's written in the book.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. All right. So this is talking about during the tribulation period. And the church will be raptured. See, we have to be taken out of the way in order for the Antichrist to come to power and to be revealed. Because, again, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, you know what is restraining. He said, the power of lawlessness, the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And it says that he who restrains will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. All right. So, but he's revealed once the church is gone. And again, the church age has to end for the time clock to start ticking again. So the church is raptured. The church is gone. And this is what we know as the Great Tribulation. The entire 7-year period is called the tribulation period. The last 3.5 years is the Great Tribulation, because that's when the Antichrist turns on the and begins to persecute the people of God. All right, and the followers of Jesus. All right, so they'll be delivered, it says, and Jeremiah talked about this as well in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jeremiah says this. He says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Who's Jacob? That's the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Amen. Glory to God. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And that's what Daniel says, and that's what Jesus said, for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened. All right, so they all are all speaking the same thing here. And we'll go to verse 2, back to Daniel 12 and verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There is going to be a resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous. We read about that in the book of Revelation. And so that's what Daniel is seeing. He says there are many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. We can all be stars in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You might not be a star on the silver screen, but you can. You might not be a, well, now it's a YouTube star. You might not be a YouTube sensation. All right? You might not have 40,000 followers on Instagram or Twitter. But you can be a star in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
Amen.
Verse 4, he says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. For generations, centuries and centuries, these words were sealed up and people didn't understand what it was talking about. But in our time and in our day, it's being revealed so we can speak of these things so clearly. I mean, isn't this clear what we've talked about tonight? I mean, we see it. But for generations, that was not the case. But those words were sealed, but now they're not sealed anymore. Praise God. He says, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Well, boy, that's happened, hasn't it?
Amen.
Knowledge, think about how knowledge has increased, and think about how world travel. You know, people couldn't travel around the world, you know, up until really in the last 100 or so years has world travel been accessible and possible, right? To people, all right? And he said, many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall increase. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other one other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, these are angelic beings that he see, who is above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it should be for a time, times, and half a time. There's a very similar passage, a very similar statement to that in the book of Revelation, where an angel raises his hand to heaven and swears by him who lives forever and ever. And there he says, in fact, it's not in my, wasn't in my notes, but you want to see that? You want to see where that's at?
Yeah,
we'll find it. We'll find it. I believe it's 10. We'll find it real quick here. Well, maybe I spoke too soon here. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Yeah. All right. Verse 5 of chapter 10. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven. All right. And swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. So very similar to what he says here. The angel raises his hand and swears by him who lives forever and ever. In verse number, we read in verse number 7, Daniel 12, 7. Are we still there? Okay. All right. That it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. That's the 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things should be finished. It's going to be a rough time. He talked about in chapter 7. Remember in Daniel chapter 7, it says the saints of the Most High will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But then the court will be seated. And the time will come for the saints of the Most High to possess the kingdom, and they shall possess it forever, even forever and ever. Amen. 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 Glory to God. So in the end, we win. Verse number 8, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. He wouldn't answer him. He said, no, you don't worry about it. You just go your way. You've done your job. You've released it. You've spoken it. You've declared it. You've revealed it. You know, it's been set in motion because you were obedient to declare it and to reveal it and to write it down. All right? Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. I love that. Many are going to be purified. Many are going to be purified, made white, and refined. There's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be a great harvest of souls. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. All right? What is that? We know that halfway through the tribulation period is when the Antichrist comes in and takes away the daily sacrifice, sets up the abomination of desolation, all right? So that's at the 3.5 year mark, right? All right? He said from that time there's going to be 1,290 days. The Jewish calendar has not 365 days or 365 and a quarter days like ours does, but 360 days. 360 days, if you multiply that times 3.5 for 3.5 years, you come up with 1,260 days. So there's another 30 days there. What does that mean? I have no idea. All right. If I don't know, I'm going to tell you I don't know. All right. But it's going to be 1,290 days. All right. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So we've got another 45 days added to that. What does that mean? I don't know. But I just know if you find yourself in that situation, wait for the 1,335th day and everything's going to be all right. All right. Praise God. But you, talking to Daniel again, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Amen. In other words, Daniel, you honored God. Daniel was taken into captivity in Babylon as a teenager. And way back there in chapter 1, the Bible said that he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. and he honored God. And in Daniel chapter 6, when the decree was issued that nobody could pray to anyone except King Darius for 30 days, Daniel went in, and the Bible says, as his custom was since early days, as a young man, he knelt down and prayed 3 times a day. And God used him to witness to Nebuchadnezzar, to Belshazzar, and to more than one of the kings of the Medes and the Persians throughout his ministry that lasted that entire 70 years of captivity. And he fulfilled God's plan. He walked with God, and he fulfilled God's plan for his life. And he said, Daniel, go your way, and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Hallelujah. Amen. So ends the book of Daniel. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's pray. Father, we stand in awe of you, and we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, you have a great plan. Nothing is catching you by surprise. Nothing that is going on in the earth today, you're not scratching your head about it. You're not wondering. Lord, you've declared the end from the beginning, and you're working your plan. And Lord, we thank you that we get to be a part of it. Lord, we thank you that